Well, next to a charity mired in controversy for the past 2 years, homeless and housing body the Macquarie Trust has written down its property portfolio by $23 million in its 2023 financial statement, which is published today. Governance and loose financial controls are at the heart of failures at the charity, and the chair of its board, Tony O'Brien, says what happened was incompetence and the charity is now on a journey of renewal. Well, Tony O'Brien is here in studio with us. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Cian. If I might just add a word of appreciation for Pascal Donoghue for his contribution to Irish political life, I think he'll be sorely missed.
Well, thanks for that. Well, tell us about this €23 million write-down. How has it come about?
Well, this relates specifically to the asset register. And as you'd appreciate, a housing body has a lot of property. And two things were fundamentally wrong with that register when it was included in the 2022 accounts, which is why we're changing it for the 2023 accounts. They hadn't been depreciating the stock, so about $9 million of depreciation has been taken in. And the register itself had inaccuracies in it, which means we've restated that by taking the value down by $14 million. So that's the $23
million. Well, let's talk about those inaccuracies, because properties ended up double counted. Others were claimed by the charity when it didn't own them. How were these recorded incorrectly in the first place?
Well, that's why the word I've used is unfortunately one of incompetence. It was a very badly managed asset register, which has given rise to very serious concerns about governance within the charity, which is why there has been so many changes in the interim. So given that we're looking back in the rearview mirror and reporting on the year in which the charity went into crisis, it's inevitable, unfortunately, that we're having to tell a very bad story.
And you say the year, so how confident are you in the 2023 accounts? Could they need to be amended in the future?
Not these ones, but there are qualifications on these which we will work our way through in the 2024 and 2025 accounts. And the qualifications essentially relate to the fact that the prior work done by previous sets of auditors can't fully be relied upon by the new independent auditors, AZETS, who've produced this set of accounts or audited this set of accounts for us.
You told the Irish Times today that what went on in the charity was incompetence rather than malevolence. What's the evidence behind that?
The evidence really is what we're saying in the accounts, that there were a number of fundamental systems which weren't properly operated, which if they had been operated, would have told a different story. So the board that was then in place in middle of 2023 was presented with a set of accounts which had been externally audited by a different set of auditors, which effectively overstated the value of property by €23 million at a time when the charity was underbidding for contracts, therefore not recouping the full cost of the work that it was doing, and therefore was heading for trouble, but in a way that was not visible because the asset register and the audit of that asset register was not adequate to meet the needs of governance.
And just explain that underbidding. Why was that happening?
I think it comes from a time when the charity, this charity and some others, were over-enthusiastic about supporting the government in its homeless initiatives, but also overly competitive and therefore putting in prices for doing services which weren't adequate to cover the costs.
Was it about getting money in?
It was about doing more and more work. Obviously, there was money coming in, but the money coming in wasn't sufficient to meet the costs of the services. So fundamentally, it can't have been about getting money in. But what it did do was produce a situation in which the charity was beginning to rack up losses. So in 2023, the charity lost €11 million. Now, part of that is because when this came to light, charitable donations, which had been a big thing, fell off the cliff. There were €15 million in charitable donations to the charity in 2022, and that fell to €5 million in 2023.
So you're hitting on two streams of funding here, because the trust relied heavily on state funding to stay afloat, and then you have those charitable donations, you say, falling off the cliff. Where are they now? Have they run dry?
They haven't run completely dry. But they're at a lower level than they have been for some time.
What kind of level are we talking about?
Oh, we're talking at about €2 million or thereabouts. For the current year.
And they've gone to €2 million from where?
There were €15 million in 2022. And it's not surprising that in the face of what people heard about problems within the charity, that they would have reconsidered their bequests, their donations and so on. So one of our challenges, apart from making sure that we run the place on a sound basis and that we do things on the basis of full cost recovery when we're bidding for work from the state, is that we restore confidence in those who would otherwise give funds to the charity, which throughout this has continued to do work for extraordinarily disadvantaged and marginalised people.
But there's obviously less money coming in now from what you've said. Yes. So will the charity need more money from government this year?
The charity is appropriately funded this year, but obviously every year is a new year.
How does it look going forward?
At the moment, we're saying that on a go-forwards basis, subject to us not losing our licences and so on, that we're a going concern. But that is going to be on the basis of full cost recovery, and that isn't on the basis of restoring charitable giving, but we do want to do that in order to do things that otherwise we couldn't do.
And how do you restore a re-established trust then for that charitable giving?
I think that the accounts, which people can now read on the Peter McVerry Trust website, are absolutely bluntly honest about what went wrong. And they describe in great detail the enormous changes that have been made to both the governance and management of the charity. And we're also in a process of achieving full compliance with both the charity's regulatory authority requirements and the approved housing body regulatory requirements.
You mentioned governance there. That's key to this. Are you confident now the right structures are in place?
Well, I'm confident we've got the right people. We have a new leadership team. We have a new board. And we're in the process of examining one or two issues that we want to get right about the relationship between the approved housing body activities we do and the rest of our services. It's a slightly unusual mix of different services. So one of the strategic questions we're examining right now is how best to structure the different parts of the organisation. But in terms of financial transparency, I believe we're there. We fundamentally built the assets register from the ground up, so we know that that is now right. We do obviously on an ongoing basis have to complete the valuation of all the stock and continue to do that so that the accounts are completely correct. And we're operating in a very transparent way.
The Capuchin Order gave millions to the McVerry Trust in restricted donations. I see in the statement that over €3 million is being repaid. What's that for? And will more need to be repaid in the future?
No, there will be a settlement in the region of €3.5 million. This has been agreed between the Capuchin Order and the Peter McVerry Trust. It relates to funds which were given back in that year, which were not used for the purpose for which they were given. And that should never happen. And I think what happened there was as the money began to run out, there was a sense that they could dip into one pot and hopefully restore those funds from another source. That other source didn't exist. Consequently, on an open and transparent basis with the Capuchins, we've reached an agreement and we will be repaying those funds.
The charities regulator, the approved housing body's regulatory authority, they've investigated.
Yes.
The Garda investigation, without going into detail, where is it at the moment?
Well, I can't actually answer that question. We made what's known as a confidential disclosure under Section 19 of the Criminal Justice Act about a particular invoice. The guards have apparently said to some people in the media that they have initiated an investigation, but we've not yet been informed of that.
You say that today, ultimately, it's now all of this is part of a journey to renewal. How long do you think that will take to get that trust back in the charity?
Well, trust, as you know, is slowly won and easily lost. So I can't be definitive about how long it will take to fully regain that trust. But I know that every day we're doing everything that's necessary to enable people to have that trust. We're not currently compliant with all of the approved housing body standards, but we're in a process with the regulatory body and with some external advisors to incrementally achieve all of those standards. And part of that is going to be done through this discussion I mentioned about how we structure the approved housing body part of the trust.
And you're looking at those structures, and we're talking about governance, financial statement, but the fact is there's 1,900 people with housing from the charity. There's 12,000 getting prevention, addiction, homeless services. If there's less money, or if you're looking at everything, are any of these services in danger?
The services themselves should not be in danger. Some of them may not always be provided by the trust, and we may transfer some of those services to other charitable entities if that's the most appropriate thing to do. But I also want to mention the 500 staff who work in the provision of those services, who have not been deflected from their work for some of the most marginalised and disadvantaged people in society and who had no part in some of these things that went on higher up in the organisation. And they've kept their head down, keep providing those services, and I want to pay tribute to them today.
So potentially are there programmes where some work that you're carrying out now will not be carried out in the future by the Macquarie Trust?
One of the things we're looking at is during this period of rapid expansion, the Trust expanded to different regions in the country where the span of control was perhaps too great. And in order to de-risk that, while not affecting any of the tenants involved, we're in active dialogue with one or two other housing organisations about taking over some of the properties that we currently manage in different parts of the country. But that's about right-sizing the Trust and making sure that it's really effectively managed.
Tony O'Brien, Chair of the Macquarie Trust, thanks for coming in to us this afternoon.